Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy 4th of July. We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto thee.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely
upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. O taste and see that the Lord is good.
Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him.
For the Lord has chosen Zion.
He has desired for His dwelling place.
This is my resting place forever. I will abundantly bless her provisions.
I will satisfy her poor with bread.
Her priests I will clothe with salvation.
And the saints will shout for joy.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy.
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O God, your almighty power is made known chiefly in showing mercy. Grant us the fullness of your grace, that we may be called to repentance and made partakers of your heavenly treasures. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this morning is taken from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. He said to me, "Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak with you." And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. And he said to me, "Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants also are impudent and stubborn. I send you to them, and you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God,' whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them." This is the word of the Lord. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. For from him and through him and to him are all things. The epistle lesson for this morning is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. "I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man I will boast, but on my own behalf I will not boast except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" This is the word of the Lord. Please rise. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown, and among his relatives, and in his own household." And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching. And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Let us join together in confessing our most holy faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I'm sorry, the Nicene Creed. I
believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophet. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. Thank you. grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What a mission our Lord went on. Always it seemed he was received with gladness by the peoples of different villages, yet we hear in Mark's gospel this morning when he went to his hometown, it wasn't that case at all. It seemed there was question about who he was. Where does he get this authority, I think, is what it really came down to. Who is he? We know who he is. He's the carpenter. We know his mother. We know his brothers. We know his sisters. Where does he have this wisdom from? Or this power? He's no different than the rest of us, is what they're basically saying. Nevertheless, Jesus proclaims the word of God to them, though we are told he's not able to do many great miracles among them because of the unbelief. And he's amazed by the unbelief of the people in his hometown. But then he sends out the 12, and they go into the countryside, they go around to the other towns that are close by, and they are welcomed, and they hear, rather the people hear the word of God being proclaimed and see the power of God working through these disciples. We flash back a few thousand years to the Old Testament, in the Old Testament reading rather this morning in Ezekiel. And we have God telling this man, Ezekiel, that he's going to be his prophet. He's going to be speaking for God. And he tells him basically, well, you know, not everyone will hear you. Some will refuse you. But that's okay. Because what I want you to do, basically, is what he's saying, is to proclaim that word that I give you. Then the people are without excuse. God knows the heart of his own people. God desires deeply that they turn from their sin and live. And yet he calls them his people, his chosen ones, his covenant people, a rebellious people. They have rebelled against God. And Ezekiel is to let them know this. Tell them the law, basically. Tell them. Let them know their situation before God, their Lord, their Redeemer, the one who led them out of Egypt. Tell them to repent and turn back. Well, whether they do or not, one thing is for certain, and God says to Ezekiel this, they will know that a prophet was among them. They will be without excuse. In the epistle lesson for this morning, we have a situation where one of God's called servants, St. Paul, is still having, we read at least, that he's still having to defend himself as being a genuine apostle. For his detractors, those who have followed after him, those even among the congregation there are questioning his authority. Just like Jesus, they might be saying, well, who is this man anyway? Some might have said, well, you know, we remember that day or those days in the few years ago where he was persecuting the church of God. He was out there arresting Christians. I'm sure that story got around. Paul himself told it. That was his status before encountering Christ. He was an enemy of God. His heart was not in the right place. Oh, he thought it was in the right place. He thought he knew God, but once he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, his thinking changed. It would take some time. He would learned from the Lord, the Lord's own words when he went into the wilderness to stay. And for about 3 years, he was taught. St. Paul says that himself, that he was taught by the Lord. What he learned, he did not learn from the other apostles, but the Lord himself taught him. So who is this St. Paul then? Why should we listen to him? That's the question going on. There are super apostles among us, they would say, who have done mighty things and great things, greater than Paul here. Well, we know how St. Paul felt about boasting. And he tells the Corinthians that he has a lot he could be boasting in. But he's going to withhold from that because that was just garbage to him. All those things high and mighty that he could point to in his life and say, look at me, what a great individual I am, what a smart, intelligent, more smart than all of you. He could have said those things, but he does not. He does not. And so in his own defense, he says, I must go on boasting, though. There is nothing to be gained by it. There is never anything really gained in boasting. Some people look at a boaster and think, what a jerk. Some people look at him and go, wow, that's amazing. You know how it is. You've met those people that have boasted around you, and maybe so much that you just don't even want to talk to them when you see them. You want to avoid them because they're just all the time talking about themselves and boasting in their accomplishments. Might as well even start a conversation with them by saying, well, what great thing have you done today? But St. Paul knows the truth, and his authority comes from Christ. And what he speaks to them out of a passion that Christ has given him for proclaiming that word. He starts off by some things that seem peculiar to us and have left theologians trying to figure out what it is that he's talking about, like the thorn in his side, you know, what was that? But St. Paul really doesn't get into it because really that's not the important thing. And then he talks in third person about himself and having a vision or at least being transported, whether in the body or not. I don't know, but God does. You know, it's all very interesting, his speech. He could talk about those things, show what a super apostle he has. Have any of your super apostles done this? Have they gone and to the presence of God in heaven? I was in paradise. I was there. But I don't know if it was in the spirit or the body. But that doesn't matter. God knows. You see, it's always down to this. God knows what you have done for him. There's no need in boasting about those things we have done. Even Jesus says, you know, when it all comes down to it, at the end of all things, what is there for you to boast in? For you've only done the work that he's given you to do. Whatever that may be and whatever vocation you have is to be the best person in Christ so that your life will be a light that reflects God and his goodness and mercy and grace. And we do that by being counterculture. We don't follow along with culture, but we don't really get angry with it. We shouldn't be surprised by the way the culture moves this way and that at different times in history. It's normal for sinful human beings, people who are without God, to do so. They're living the life that you and I would be living too without Christ. But God gives us new eyes and a new heart and a new mind. He gives us His Spirit that guides us and leads us. And like in St. Paul's vision, if you think about it, in one way or another, he's got his foot in heaven and a foot planted firmly on earth among a sinful people, God's own people. See, he never talks about the Corinthians as being without God. He just sees that there's a lot of error among them, that there's a lot of misconceptions about God and grace and mercy. They're in their little cliques doing their own thing. They're subdivided in other groups in which some say, well, you know, I have my training from Pastor Apollos. I have my training from, you know, Pastor Rod. Or I have my training from St. Paul. They could go on and talk about perhaps their favorite pastor and what a wonderful person he was. And yet St. Paul even tells them about that kind of boasting. You got it all wrong. You don't understand. Each one of your pastors did the job God planted them there to do. Some watered, some tilled the ground, some put the seed in, some watered, but it is God who gives the growth. It is God whose hand is in all of this. He's got one foot planted in heaven and one foot firmly planted on earth among a sinful people, God's own people. But he does not hesitate like Ezekiel to speak God's word. He does not hesitate to speak among those who have a hard time understanding what authority Jesus has. He does it anyway, because it is God's truth that is at stake. It is God's word that comes to us. It is God's word that comes to Ezekiel. It is God's word that comes to St. Paul. St. Paul loves this congregation. He has spent time among them. He had a tent business close by to where they worshiped in the city of Corinth. He was there for some time. He knew these people, and he loved them. He calls them children of God. He calls them brothers and sisters in Christ. He never tells them, oh, you're not a true follower. He never tells them, oh, you're just a sinner. You have no business being here. No, no. He wants to reorient their thinking. Have them turn back to God and remember what Paul originally proclaimed to them, that they would return to their first love, which is the gospel, which is Jesus. They are called to turn back in repentance and know what it is to be a child of God in a community. As children of God in community, we are not divided. We are not subcategorized. We are united. For we all have the same head, Jesus Christ. Each of us are parts of that body. This is how St. Paul speaks to the Corinthians. One foot planted in heaven, one foot planted on earth. He knows what God has in store. We are more than conquerors, he would say. We are more than victors. We are God's own children. And what He has stored up for us, the treasures in heaven, is greater than any treasure on earth. So behave as the children of God. I would say that's what He would want from them. Behave as the children of God and do not act like those of the world. Instead, act knowing who your Father is. because he has called us to call him our Father. Know him as your Father and not just some powerful being out in the space where one cannot go and really hear him. No, Paul would say that's not the case. No one needs to go into heaven to bring him down, for heaven's sake. No. He's already come down, and he dwells in us and in our hearts. He is that close to us when we speak to him, right there in your heart. He knows what you need before you ask, and yet he calls upon us to pray, to always be in prayer. Jesus even gives himself as that model of a person in prayer with the Father. When Jesus found the time, he was going always someplace where he could pray. He loved being in contact with his Father when he wasn't busy proclaiming that word or healing people or feeding them miraculously or whatever other things he might be doing, or instructing the 12 in a quiet place about the parables. He loved to be in prayer. It wasn't ever a chore, nor should it be for us, trying to find a time of the day where we can pray. My goodness, we can't be that busy that we can't find time to pray. Prayer is so important for us because it keeps us connected with the Father. And when we pray for one another, when we pray out loud to God, calling on God to remember each one here, I try to do that myself. I pray for each one of you. I'm not boasting. I'm just saying I do that. It's better than counting sheep when I'm going to sleep anyway. Y'all are of more value than sheep. But it helps stay connected with the community you are in and I am in. We know one another as children of God, that our Heavenly Father is our Father and not just my Father. We have many things that we could, in Paul's words, boast about. When it comes to Christ, that's the one we desire boast about. St. Paul tells us a wonderful thing, a wonderful thing about boasting, and that is he wants to boast about his weakness. How odd that someone would want to boast about their weakness. Boasting usually implies I've done something great, so I want everyone to know it. I don't want to boast about my weakness or my problems. Yet, you know, it seems as we get older, we do that, though, don't we? We boast about things, our aches, our pains. Somebody says, oh, my left foot is numb. Oh, yeah, well, both my feet are numb. Well, as we get older, we seem to talk more about our condition as though it is something to boast in. Yet, St. Paul would boast in those kinds of things because it humbles him. And I think that's a wonderful thing about aging. It humbles us. When we're young and we're strong and we're full of vinegar, man, we boast about everything. We're going to live forever. But as we get older and wisdom has set in with us from life, we realize I ain't all that. And God does that. God does that for us so that we look to him, so that we remember that our strength is in God. St. Paul had a problem that was going on in his life. What it was, we don't know, but he prayed 3 times that God would remove it, and God said, nope. My grace is sufficient for you. And that's the way it is for us too. When we feel our weakest, God's strength comes shining through. Because where do we turn? Same one that St. Paul turned to, our Heavenly Father. We turn to our Lord, and we know our strength is in Him. We know that in our weaknesses, we are made strong because we remember in those moments. We remember that Christ is Lord. And He's Lord of my life. And He's Lord of your life. And He loves us. We have our strength in Him, as St. Paul did, and we too have one foot in heaven, though we've never had a vision like St. Paul did. Or was he there physically? We don't know, but God knows. He had one foot in heaven, one foot on earth, and so do we. For when you were baptized and you received the Spirit of God, when you received Christ's own Spirit, He joined Himself to us, and we were joined to Him, so that wherever we are, He is. Wherever He is, we are. So we have one foot in heaven, and we have one foot planted here on earth among a sinful people of God. And we need to remember that. All of us are that way, and sometimes we may need to forgive one another. And all the time we should be rejoicing with one another and even crying with one another when it's appropriate. For we are God's family. We are His children. We are also prophets called to share the good news. We don't have to worry whether or not that word is received as you have received it. At least they will have known that there was a person of God who came to them. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated and let's join in the next hymn, 770, I believe it is. Yeah. We join in hymn 770. Thank you. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, your Son endured rejection in this world. You led us likewise through a hostile world that shows no honor to your church or its wisdom. Do not let us lose heart. Still us for opposition. And let us rest confidently on what you, Lord, have said. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Holy God, your great and mighty work is to create faith by your Holy Spirit in the eternal blessings of your Son, Christ Jesus. We implore you, make your preachers effective to proclaim your prophetic word and remove all stubborn ears from our midst. Do not leave us without your word, but make your home among us and restore the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear
our prayer. O Lord, soften the hearts in every home. Turn parents and children toward each other in love and patience. Banish the spirit of impudence, stubbornness, and rebellion from all. Sanctify in your truth. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, protect and defend our nation from its enemies, support our leaders, and preserve them from temptation. Through the work of all civil authorities, enable us to live a quiet and peaceful life according to your word. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, in our weakness we are strong for the sake of Christ, whose grace is sufficient for every need. Give comfort to those whose pain is chronic, whose sustained suffering is unknown, who wrestle with difficult thorns in the body or mind, or who are tempted to despair. Especially we lift up to you, Lord, Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Sandra Avila, Larry Foltz, Jan Johnson, Robert Galabias, Alfred Durson, Johnny Ruther, Jeff Schaffner, Edward Russell, Sue and Dean Soberly, Don and Donna Tolner, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Habman, Pat Bias, Carl and Jackie Rush, Robert and Donna Knopf, and Cody Ohl. In weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamity, let us boast in Christ and his cross, by which we in our sufferings are sanctified. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, out of your abundant blessing, you satisfy us with Christ, the bread of life. Give repentance and faith to all who commune this day, that finding refuge in your Son's true body and blood, we may taste and see that you are good. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen. Please be seated. We join in singing hymn 621. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, out of love for his fallen creation, humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Amen. Please rise.
Thank you.
give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. We join in singing hymn 717. Any announcements?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Want to say happy anniversary.
Anything else? Righty. Well, let's go in peace then. Serve the Lord.